Prayer of illumination, living God, through the reading of this, from more than your spirit, may we hear for ourselves the good news and believe because of your word that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. The scripture this morning is Exodus 17, 1 through 7, and I'll be reading from Peterson. Directed by God, the whole company of Israel moved on by stages from the wilderness of Sin. They set up camp, and there wasn't a drop of water for people to drink. The people took Moses to task, "Give us some water to drink." But Moses said, "Why pester me? Why are you testing God?" But the people were thirsty for water there. They complained to Moses, "Why did you take us from Egypt and drag us out here with our children and our animals to die of thirst?" Moses cried out in prayer to God, "What can I do with these people? Any minute now, they're going to kill me." God said to Moses, "Go on out ahead of the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. Take the staff you used to strike the Nile and go. I'm going to be present before you're there on a rock at Horeb. You are to strike the rock. Water will gush out of it, and the people will drink." Moses did what he said, with the elders of Israel right there watching. He named the place Massa, testing place, and Meribah, quarreling, because the quarreling of the Israelites and because of their testing of God when they said, "Is God here with us or not?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth. Thank you, my friend. Join with me. We're thanking you, Lord, for your word. And certainly, the living word is something that we can read, we can take in, be convicted by, encouraged, filled. But you're also speaking into our lives in other ways, and certainly not just because of what the preacher's saying. Keep us open to the intimate ways that you speak into our lives all the time. And it's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. I love hearing different translations of the Bible, and what they say, how they say it, and specifically looking at various passages, verses, or even parts of verses. And the very last words in this particular scripture passage are some of those words that should resonate with us. I know that as your brother in Christ, they certainly resonate with me for a number of different reasons. Is God here with us or not? The answer is yes, certainly. But we might have that question pop into our minds. And we might have it pop into our minds in different ways. First of all, I want you to go ahead and look at somebody, find somebody. If they've dozed off already, just gently wake them. Maybe blow in their ear a little bit just to get their attention. And go look them right in the eyes. Go ahead and follow along with me. Go ahead and follow along with me. Look them right in the eyes and just say in whatever tone you want, "Are we there yet?" Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've said it. Maybe you've had to deal with that unspoken phrase, just kind of hanging there. You know it's there. Nobody's going to say anything. And it comes out in a lot of different ways. It is very similar to, "Is God here or not?" "God, my loved one has just gone back into the hospital. God, I'm struggling with this anger and resentment. God, I'm not sure whether you love me. I'm not sure whether I even love myself. And all those questions of faith, deep questions, important questions, there's this underlying foundation of wonder. Is God here? Is God present? The people of God, the Israelites, had been traveling in the desert. It was a dry, dusty, arid, sometimes hot, and unforgiving place with very little around that you could see of water and shade. Have you ever experienced a place like that in your life? And what's more so, they were hungry. They were thirsty. It happens, doesn't it? We all get hungry. We all get thirsty. And we need certain things to take care of that hunger, to take care of that thirst. And we can never forget in this passage that the people of God were experiencing these things in a very real way. Now, certainly, as believers, as followers of the one who went to the cross for us and is now risen in glory, as those people, we understand hunger and we understand thirst in other ways as well, don't we? A hungering for righteousness. A hungering for the right things to be done. A thirst for knowledge, a thirst for a deeper presence of God in our lives. And yet these people were hungry and were thirsty. Now, I don't know if you've ever dealt with somebody who was hungry and thirsty. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? And maybe you were on a trip with them, okay? And some people, whenever they get hungry and thirsty, it's good to find the very next exit where there's going to be something that will take care of that, right? You don't want to waste too much time. You want to go ahead and get off. Guess what? There weren't any rest stops on the way in the desert in this particular passage. And so these individuals who had experienced God's providence, in other words, God's presence and providing for them, God providing for them. It wasn't anything they did. God simply provided what they needed. They'd experienced this time and time again, and yet they were hungry and thirsty, so maybe they were a little bit cranky as well. Maybe they were a little bit grumpy. And maybe they were complaining. Now, I understand I'm introducing terms and states of being that none of you have ever experienced. And I have certainly never seen any of that here at this church. I've never seen any of that at this church. But sometimes, if people are hungry and thirsty, yeah, they get cranky and they forget. They forget how they were provided for before. They forget sometimes, amazingly enough, that God is already in their midst. And they start complaining to the person that's right there in front of them. And this person had heard it before. And this person had heard it a lot. And this person, whenever he was first called, wasn't sure that he was even the right guy for the job. Was a little bit wary about God saying to him, I'm going to use you. I want you. Moses is thinking, I don't speak very well. I'm not that good looking. I'm dented. I got other issues. God, are you sure? Yeah, I'm going to use you. And for all of us who are really faulty channels and broken vessels. God still calls. Boy, that resonates with us as well. God, are you sure? Are you sure? The people are complaining to this guy who's already seeking to be as open as he can to God and complaining. And finally, a miraculous thing happens. And sometimes we kind of get caught up in the miracle of it. Now, certainly, you take a rock and you go ahead and you pound on that rock with a stick and water comes out of it. That's a pretty cool trick, huh? I don't care who you are. You're going to remember that. Anybody that's been hiking out in the desert and hasn't taken enough water along with them, or maybe was hiking out in the desert and decided that they had found a shortcut, you know who I'm talking about right now, and they just barely had enough water to get back home. You see who I'm talking about? They had wished that they could have gone ahead and beaten on a rock and maybe some nice fountain cool water could have come streaming out, you know? There was this place back in Springdale whenever I grew up where I'm still growing up. I don't think I'll ever be grown up completely. But you were walking up the hill from the public pool, okay? And on a hot summer day, there was this spring about halfway up the hill. I kid you not, all right? And it came out of this tube. And you could put your hand over the end of that tube, okay? And then there was this hole top, and guess what? It created a fountain. Now, those were back in the days when they let kids go ahead and drink right out of a spring coming out of who knows where. Maybe that explains some things. I don't know. But getting halfway up that hill, okay, and it's a hot summer day and you're in your flip-flops or bare feet or something like that, and you're just tired. Boy, does that taste good. Anybody with me on that? Just a nice, cool drink sometime like that? That tastes good. That hits the spot. People just wanted something to hit the spot, but they were also grumbling and complaining. And so God provides once again. Now, if this is simply about, hey, God gave the people water whenever they wanted it, it probably wouldn't be in the Bible. It really wouldn't. Because if the Bible is simply about giving us just what we want, then it's really not the Word of God. The Word of God is a convicting thing. That's not bad. Let me go ahead and unpack that. Whenever we think about conviction, sometimes we think that that's a negative thing. But whenever it comes from God, God convicts us. And what that means is God speaks into our hearts, okay? And God has us think about somebody or something. Have you ever been driving along and all of a sudden somebody popped into your mind? Anybody ever have that? For some reason, somebody pops into your mind. And I tell people, whenever that happens, pray for the person. For God's sake, don't close your eyes while you're driving. But still, you know, pray for the person. Just consider that. Lay that right before God. This person, for whatever reason, God. That's the kind of conviction I'm talking about. Or conviction whenever somebody is, or a situation is put on your heart and you're thinking, okay, now why is that? Well, that's God speaking to us, okay? So conviction from God means God is speaking to us. That's a good thing. It's not bad. And the people of God in this particular passage had really forgotten that God continued to speak to them. All they wanted was what they wanted, what they felt they needed. And the Word of God is about God speaking a greater truth to us. Certainly, it fills us, it sustains us, it quenches our thirst for more, but it's about something deeper as well. It's about God's plan in our lives. God creating in our lives as well. It could be said that the people here were simply trying to survive. They were nervous, okay? You're out in the desert, you're hungry, you're thirsty. You're thinking, am I going to live through this at all? Tales of survival are something that strike us at our very core. People who go through extraordinary measures just to survive. Whenever I mentioned about Mr. Love earlier, surviving the Bataan death march. Extraordinary individuals getting through horrendous, horrific situations. Aaron Ralston, a young man who'd gone out hiking in the Utah desert one time and got stuck. And the movie 127 Hours was based on his life. He had to end up cutting off his own arm to be able to survive. Louise Zamparelli, who the book Unbroken is based on. An individual serving in the military during World War II, having been shot down, survived days and days out in the ocean in a raft, survived the enemy strafing him, and then was interred in an enemy prison camp, surviving all of that, the ordeal that individuals go through just to get by. And so we appreciate that. But whatever our ordeal may be, and it might not be as extraordinary as some of those illustrations I just gave, whatever our challenge might be, however big we think it is, we have a God who's bigger. And we have a God who's already at work. Was God already aware of the needs of his people? Yes. Would God have provided even without them saying, offering up complaints and forgetting about how God provided before? Yes, God was going to take care of those things. But these words remind us that whenever we are complaining or grumbling, God is already at work. There are three things that Moses does and illustrates in this scripture that also inform us in how to keep mindful of the God who's already present, already at work. The first thing is to pray. And certainly, Moses' prayer was not a mighty, strong, powerful, overwhelming prayer. Moses' prayer was probably more like, God, I really need some help here. But it was prayer nonetheless. And that's our starting point. We pray. We pray whenever we wonder if God is at work. The second thing we remember is that God has already given each of us gifts. All right? What did Moses use? His staff. He already had what he needed from God to be able to bring forth the blessing from God. So often, we already are equipped to be able to face those challenges, to be able to deal with the hungers and the thirsts that we have. We already have those gifts, but we just simply need to recognize them and then use them. Thirdly, the people were in this together. They were in this together. And only when we are in this together, as the body of Christ, as the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, true brothers and sisters in Christ, who are loved by God and love one another, only when we act and live as the church together will we truly, truly, truly to point others in the direction of the one true light of the world. Prayer, recognizing our gifts, and remembering that we're in this together. We're not alone. Any challenges that we as individuals, any challenges that we as the church face, as God blesses us through those three different things, God also will continue to be present. Certainly, had the people forgotten about God leading them out of slavery? Had the people forgotten about God parting the waters, ushering them through? Had the people forgotten about the pillar of fire? Had the people forgotten about all these different things? Had the people already forgotten about the food just one chapter earlier in Exodus? Now understand, they didn't have the book at that time. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. They couldn't say, hey, let's look back a chapter and see what God just did for us. But it actually happened to them. Did the people forget those things? Certainly. Did God still act in their lives? Yes. Even when we forget how God has blessed us in our lives, will God continue to act in our lives? Even when we forget how God has been at work in our lives, will God continue to act in our lives?
Yes.
I was going to say, because that's good news for me. I don't know if that's good news for you, but it sure is good news for me. I don't know if some of you have grumbling stomachs right now and you're thinking more about brunch or where you're going to go eat, and that's why you didn't answer right away, but I'm almost done, folks. I really am. I almost am. So if God is for us, who can be against us? But again, it's following God. It's not God following us. Not God following our plans. It's we being humbled before God and following His will. Give us this day our daily bread. Thy will be done. Not give us this day our monthly allotment, Lord. We trust in God each and every day. Remembering in that trust, how God has already provided again and again and again. It's one of the most important themes of our Lenten journey. And we continue in Lent on our way to the cross. We continue in our Lent journey. And today, we truly think about how are we trusting God? The God who answers, the God who loves us. Join with me in a few moments of reflection, thinking, maybe about things that you've been grumbling about. You can lay those before God. But also remembering how God has provided.